Hi, everyone. This is Wisdom the Healer coming to you live and direct. I know it's been a minute. Y'all know I always come back with a bang. We've been going through a lot mentally, emotionally, physically, with quarantine, COVID-19, and actually people breaking up in their relationships, their marriages, and not being able to understand each other and not being able to actually seek therapy or anything like that or talk to anybody. So I felt like this episode right here that I have, I had to bring these two kings that can pretty much explain their experiences or what they're going through as far as, you know, teaching us and pretty much giving us lessons on how we can mentally get there and how we can be able to help each other. So I have these two kings by the name of Akeem, and we have codename Spades. So, Mr. Akeem, introduce yourself.
What's going on, beautiful people? I see y'all, I hear y'all, and I love y'all. Know that always and forever. My name is Akeem Lloyd, and I am currently living in Providence, Rhode Island. But who I am as a person stems from the roots of my grandparents. I'm the grandson of Mary Marsh and Leroy Lloyd. I am a melanated, cis-male American bohemian from Atlantic City, New Jersey, 609 all day. I'm a brother, an uncle, and an able-body educator. As I acknowledge this, I am also an artist, and I'm the founder and creator of A Leadership Journey, and Akeem Speaks. And so I'm looking forward to being able to share space with not only my brother in this work, codename Spades, but I'm also able to I'm looking forward to sharing space with Wisdom the Healer. I was trying not to say his name because I know he's about to introduce himself.
It's all good. We having fun over here. So we're free talking.
that's why that pause. I was like,
It is all right. Oh, man. So, but that's, I'm happy that you was able to go ahead and introduce yourself. See, you have so many powerful things that you have done so far, and I cannot wait to get into the nitty gritty of it. So, since Akeem introduced codename Spades, I go ahead, Spades, tell everybody where you from and where you come from.
What's going on, everybody? As my brother Akeem said, I'm codenamed Spades. From South Florida originally, Bahamian, all the way now in Kansas City, Missouri, where I currently reside. I am a spoken word artist. I'm a rapper. I am a poet. I am a public speaker. I am a life coach. I also am a retired teacher. And just a few of my accolades, man. I've mentored for years, children of all ages, adults, and just in general and just in life and processing and understanding and accepting oneself, which is kind of loud, actually, man. And that's the beautiful thing about being a teacher, you never stop learning. You know, so that's why. That's a little bit about me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If everybody else wanted to go ahead and
put that stuff up. That's awesome, see? But y'all both did a lot of good things, and y'all already know with me, Wisdom the Healer. I mean, I did a lot too, but you know, it's not about me today. It's about y'all. So, with Spades, I'm going to continue with you. I want to know, do you enjoy doing what you do?
Man, I enjoy what? I love what I do. Like, I get to sit down and put words on paper, mm-hmm. and if I read these out loud, people gonna go crazy.
Yeah, I haven't seen that.
What? Like that's as literal as I can get with it. I can write my thoughts down, mm-hmm. and the moment I speak this out loud, oh my gosh, somebody gonna say amen.
Amen.
Different. That's different because that's influence, and a part of that enjoyment is because you understand what the gift is to be used for. Mm-hmm. Since I know what the purpose is behind it, I can utilize it for what it's supposed to be used for, while enjoying the perks that come along with it, because I don't let that distract me from doing it. But yes, oh,
what?
I get paid for it? Man, I get paid to write. That is crazy.
That's beautiful. How long you been writing?
Was I was 12, 28 now, about to be 29, all 17, right? Okay. Yeah. 17 years? Hey, I'm in here! Hey, yeah, 17 years. I've been writing for 17 years. I was 12 years Ooh. Old, right in front Ooh. Of middle school, right in front of a little stereo.
That's what's up. I remember when I first started writing. I started in a little journal.
Brother, 12 years old? Come on now.
12, but I'm not. Don't get it twisted. Y'all remember, y'all ever saw Get Rich or Die Trying with 50 Cent?
Yeah, classic.
Remember when my man said after 30 years his career was over?
Yeah.
Look, when I first started, oh my gosh, I said, whoa, I'm never going to be with And now here I am, man. So yeah, I enjoy it. It's been a journey.
You out here right now moving mountains. That's what I'm talking about. Now, one thing I want to know now that you've been writing for so long and you've been doing a lot as far as, you did come out with a World Star video with your song, Disarmed.
And, yes, I did.
Yes, make sure y'all check it out, Disarmed on World Star, codename Spades.
And that is a fact.
What was that? What was that about? What encouraged you to write that?
So the gentleman involved, Khalid is he put together this three-phase project that basically is funding a community project that will employ artists of all genres, whether you are a painter, whether you are a singer, whether you're a rapper. It seeks to bring all of these people of the community and employ them into this film that will be created. And the film is basically kind of bringing Black mythology to further light, and then giving us the Black superheroes, if you will, the Black gods and goddesses, you know, just to further enlighten, and then one also too, to allow the people of that community an opportunity to be able to express themselves, because what that entails, and I won't say too much, but what it entails is like your gift literally is your art, right? So if you are a graffiti artist, you can spray an image and then it'll come to life. If you're a poet, poets are associated with the element of air, such as breath of fresh air, things like that. So when the poetry comes out, it has a different effect upon people. When you watch this on, and this is the reason I'm saying this, when you watch this on, there's a scene at the very end where something happens, and that it's going to surprise you. I don't want to say anything, I don't want to spoil it, but it surprises you. It's like, what is that? And that is actually a scene to demonstrate that's part of phase two, because we're currently still in phase one. But that's part of phase two, which is showing the clips of the film now. And then getting some of that filming done and things like that. See some of the people involved are real dancers. Some of the people involved, I'm like myself, real artists of the community. So it started with that, and then tying it all the way back in. Long story very less long. Khalid is the relative of Mike Brown, and he didn't know until the family had gotten together. It was just like, we have to do something about this. And because it was still going on. Now it was more names added to the list. And as we know now, so many unspoken names that we may never know, you know. And when he did that, he said, whoa, I want to raise awareness, but I want to raise it differently, right? I want to have a direction to where I'm going. And that's why I explained that first part of the community. He wants to fund and help maintain the community. We're in COVID right now. A lot of people don't have jobs, especially if you are starving artists
oh, that starving word might be literal now. Yeah. You trying to get a job with everybody else, and unemployment is so high. So here we are seeing the opportunity that most people would think is just nonsense, right? We have the killings and all that is going on, but it's a balance. You have to bring a balance. And I say that to say, when Khalid came to me and sat down, he asked, he said, hey, listen, man, we had a writer and he bailed out. It's just not going to work. So he was like, you got a weak deadline, can you get it done? I told him, I said, give me anything I need to have in it and we're going to have it done. So when I wrote it, I sat down the first 2-3 days and I was just like, I have to be very careful because now this will be the first time. And mind you, this is December 2019, right? This is literally, it's before it really took off.
Wow.
So I'm sitting there and I'm like, whatever I say, I have to stand on. I can't take this back. So whatever you say, make sure you mean it. And so I said, okay, but I also can't be biased. I'm considered an African American male in America.
Yeah.
That is automatically going to make so many people try to disqualify so much in just the opinion alone, right? But it's not going to stop me from stating exactly what it is. I have to articulate it in a way that's not gruesome, but it's bittersweet and has to be accepted because it's tea. In its purest form. Not the sweet stuff. No, it's brewed tea. Natural.
Yes.
But it's good for you. It's not going to taste good being swallowed.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard. It's a hard thing to chew, but it's going to get you right. And that's why a lot of people run from it. And that's the crazy part, is we run from just something so simple, something we deem to be so difficult, could really be so easy, and then the benefits be so just wonderful, you know? So tying it back in, man. So the first verse is written from the community's perspective. And that was Khalid's idea. Khalid said he wanted both sides to be heard, right? So when he said that, what my bias set aside, okay, perfect. First part's the community. The second part is me writing from the officer, but here's the thing, the officer is a person. I get how we feel, I get what's going on at the end of the day, but just like we don't want to be held responsible for every black crime, for every individual that's African American, there are a lot of officers who really have saved lives, who really have done a lot, and in such a high tension time. I can't lie. Often days, my aggression has to be worked through when another video is shared, when something new arises. You know, so I'm not saying that I'm exempt from this at all. It is difficult some days.
Mm-hmm. I know that. That's why I have this saying, when, you know, sometimes you gotta change the radio station to contain aggravation.
Indeed.
Yeah, so I know that can be difficult as far as being a black man in America as well. And that actually leads me to my next question. What is the biggest challenge you face while you express your thoughts on Black Lives Matter?
I honestly think it really may be that part. Maintaining neutrality. Neutrality, there we go. And when I say neutral, not neutral in the sense of not moving on my part, I mean neutral in the sense of I have to be a generalist. Mm-hmm. I have to be able to hear everybody's perspective evenly, or mine will forever be a lie. I feel like, me personally, because how can I say I'm honestly moving the best for me and I haven't even equated everything that I could? If you can't, that's one thing, but if you can and you don't, you have to accept responsibility. You have to be accountable for that. So for me, it's okay. Hey, listen, you killing. Bottom line, police brutality is nonsense.
Yeah.
Gotta get changed. That's the stance, period. Yeah. How we go about it, right? And I'm not here to denounce anybody's protest in any shape, form, or fashion in which you do it. Mm-hmm. But how we go about it will determine how far this entire ride goes. Will determine how much true benefit we need, how much longevity we need.
Yep.
It's based off of our presentation.
Yep.
So I see a lot. I see us doing a lot. I see us unifying a lot. If we can continue to unify those movements and shrink those, oh man. And focus the attention, and because I'm not saying you have to focus on one thing for too long, but you imagine how much we've changed with the focus in just seconds.
Yeah, I've been through a lot.
Sure. Yeah.
There's a lot that has been happening. I see a lot that has been changing too. And another thing I do see a lot of people, kids, teenagers that are entering majors that can actually help their community. And I'm starting to see that now. And that's the last question for you, right? What do you think that we should do to change the generation curse?
Oh, we gotta educate young. We have to educate young. And the very first thing we all have to accept. Or no, you know what? Not all, because you don't want to speak for all. What I think would help a lot is understanding that this isn't overnight. Mm-hmm. It takes time. And I say that to say, if you grandma or grandpa, you might not see this. I'm going to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. That's true, because they have their ways.
If you parents of the millennials, you might not see this. The millennials may get to get a glimpse of what we were looking for if we do it right. Just depending on age and how it goes. Like, millennials are different. We are a mix of both sides. We got to get the tech, but we also got to understand the old ways so we really could bridge gaps a little different. And it's us who had the babies who are now having babies, right? So in that, if we can get the babies right, and I mean true nurturing, true grooming, true family environment, none of that hide everything in the closet like a lot of us but in the black community have had to do. None of that. The black woman, mom, had to hold so many of the house's secrets. Mm-hmm. And she's just unaccounted for. She's unattended to. Give that young. Teach the young man about a moon cycle the same way you teach a young lady, so that when he's in school and he sees a lady on that, his first idea is to tease. So now that young lady has a confidence problem, potentially, mm-hmm. right? But also now this causes a disrupt in the man and woman, because sometimes it's so simple.
Yeah.
It's the small things often. You hear a lot of people mention the relationships. The materialistic, the money, contrary to belief, is so easy to acquire. Do you know the person you're with?
Ooh, can you repeat that one more time?
Do you know the person you are with? Did you take time to truly identify not just the things that make you smile, because that's the easy part,
yeah.
but the parts that's going to break your mind one day? Not purposely, but relationships have to be tested, and we are not always going to make the right decisions. Mm-hmm. Understand that if you give that knowledge to the children who come in pure, they don't know color, they don't know anything until someone says that,
yeah.
and they mix How do they learn? They mimic. They mimic what we are doing. So teach the children to mimic the way interaction should occur. And that doesn't have to be men and women. That extends to anything that you identify as. We're all human at the end of the day. We wouldn't have to say Black Lives Matter if we wasn't being excluded from the rest of the damn lives. That's it. It's so simple.
That is so true. That's how people be like, you know, all lives matter. But it's just so, this topic is just so powerful. It's like the only thing that we can, well, that I can do in this situation is continue being Wisdom the Healer, continue giving that therapy to people, and continue actually being in the forefront of helping people. Like, I done helped a couple of people not go to jail. They try to give them more years in jail only because of their skin color. Mm. And I wrote a letter and I saved somebody 15 years in prison. You see what I'm saying? Mm. So I was able to actually be part of that. And like right now, I'm currently writing another letter for someone too. Because it's just like, you know, I can't go out and just protest. And no, I don't see color. I really don't see color. Maybe because my culture is Garifuna. That's what my parents are from Honduras. So yeah, I was born and raised in America, but I know more about the Garifuna culture than the Black culture. And with my Garifuna culture, I never saw color. We was never slaves. We was always free, you know? And that's why with me, I'm able to be social. I'm able to understand any individual that's in front of me. And I'm teaching that with my daughter, but I'm also teaching my daughter how to respect herself and how to be very detailed and to be aware of her surroundings. And
yes,
I always teach her too as well, like whatever mommy do, because I was born and raised in Brooklyn, Brownsville, you know, one of the baddest neighborhoods in Brooklyn. So I was raised differently. My parents worked all the time, so they didn't really have time for me like that. So with my daughter, she's able to be here with me all the time. So any questions she have or anything like that, I'm able to give her that answer without hesitating or without telling her a fairy tale, because that's what my parents told me, a fairy tale. And to this day, as a grown adult, I do have an issue that I'm still battling because of, you know, those answers I was getting when I was a kid. And that's something that I pretty much, you know, broke when I had my kid, because I'm brutally honest with her. Like, she knows everything. At 10 years old, she knows a lot, you know? So I do agree with what you're saying, Spades, because, you know, with me having to teach my daughter a lot of things, my daughter is not curious on sex. You know, my daughter is not curious on stuff like
in
herself or stuff like that. My daughter is more curious on math, science, gymnastics. Like, she's an outdoor.
May I ask you a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Not to cut you off, but Akeem, do you have children?
No.
All right, so for you, quick, because I don't have children either. Do how I want to. Do you believe, right? Because I can only speak from the teacher side, but this is some of these are more intimate teachings, right? Where a parent, this is more for a parent. But do you believe that teaching your child acclimating her to conversations as far as one exploring oneself has helped her deviate from the sexual? And do you think more parents could benefit from that? Normalizing some of the things that we over exaggerate?
You asking Akeem that or me?
No, you. Because you have a child.
Okay, so hold on. Repeat that question one more time.
So, in teaching, because you said your daughter doesn't question sex because you had acclimated her, correct?
Yes.
And I was asking, do you think a lot more parents can benefit from that, normalizing some of the things that often we feel children may not be ready for, or we over-exaggerate as adults?
Oh, yeah. I really do believe that parents could benefit. Because I'm going to tell you, like, My daughter did ask me before about sex. She was just like, I kept hearing it and I didn't know what it was. That's what she said. And she tried to actually look for it. And I called her in between it, and I seen that she was looking for it, and I explained to her what it was. I said, and I told her, because, you know, I have a degree in biology, so I was able to talk to her about, you know.
Come on, degree.
You said what?
I said, come on, degree.
Right, that's right.
Yeah, she tried to walk past that. Come on, degree.
I was able to go ahead and teach her the anatomy and physiology of sex, and also the ghetto terminology of it as well, and condoms and infections. And I even showed her how it could be when you get an infection or bad infection or HIV or all these things. I explained to her. When I went to my parents about this, you know what my mother told me, where kids come from? From the sky.
Don't do that.
So with that being said, at 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, I'm getting this misinformation that sex doesn't even exist. And I always thought that a man had the same thing a woman had as I was growing up. So with that being said, there was plenty of opportunities for other people to come to me and tell me what it was. And it wasn't even verbally. So with that being said, with my daughter, I had to break that curse. I had to tell her in general what it was, everything, because with me telling her, she was able to actually not think about that shit no more. She didn't ask me about it anymore. She wasn't curious about it anymore. And then she respects herself so much to the point that, let's say mommy has a male friend, she knows her place. She knows not to be around it, or she doesn't like, she respects herself so much. The way how she dresses, she dresses herself. We went to Houston, Texas the other day. I had my friend with me, and the way how she did certain things, she just made sure that my friend wasn't even close to her. You know, so that meant a lot. Because you have a lot of little girls that seeks attention, that wants to flirt. They see older men, they get excited, they want to be around it. I was like that when I was a kid, only because I wasn't educated on these things. I wasn't educated on respecting yourself. I wasn't educated on sex and stuff like that. So I was seeking attention. I was seeking these older men. I was doing this because I didn't know. You know what I'm saying? So now with my daughter, like when her growing up, I keep it 100 with her, and I tell her that mommy was raised different from you. But that doesn't mean that you got to do what I do. You're going to be better than me. You know? So, that's that.
Nah, that's real. We appreciate that.
So, that's pretty much it, man. I do want to have more kids in the future. And because I feel like I know how to be able to, you know, teach them, or how I need to teach them, and, you know, make them a soldier. Because I want to teach my daughter. A lot of people are probably going to be against this, but I'm going to take her to a gun range. She's going to learn how to shoot. Like, all these things. I'm going to do that for her. She has to learn how to protect herself when she grows up. Even learning how to fight or everything like that. You know, because she is going to grow up as a strong black queen. A strong black Garifuna queen. And in order for her to do that, she has to know all these things to defend herself. So, that's that.
I'm rolling with that. Look, I ain't got that at all. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Because, hey, like, I feel like, you know, when it comes to this world, I just feel like a lot of these folks, a lot of these parents just ready to take their kids to school or daycare, and they don't want to teach them nothing. They just want to get them out of their face. And it's just like, why? Why would you even have a kid? Like, right now with this quarantine going on, you know how many parents is upset that their kids can't go to school or their kids can't go to the daycare because they want to bring somebody in the house? Like, that's sad. That's really sad. And I really feel like they need to work on that because, yo, these kids is ready to, they got energy. These kids is ready to jump up a tree and build a house if they had to. Only thing you have to do is give them those tools and give them something to do. If not, they're going to watch TV all the time. They're going to be in their social media. And what the hell are they going to be learning? How to WAP. Anyways, we're not going to get into that. But I'm just saying, keep these kids motivated. Keep these kids doing something. Because if not, they're going to pick up something that you don't want them to pick up. Period. So, Spades, I appreciate you. You know I appreciate you. I want you to tell everybody where they can find you.
Oh, of course. Listen, you can find me. Well, I almost did the man. You can find
me.
Yo,
me too, bro. Yo, me too, son.
No bullshit.
Bro.
He done put that in everybody's mind, man. It's hard not to. But now you can code name Spades, all one word, on anything. Google, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Spotify. You know we got music, we got millions, we got mixtapes out, we got the album out, unidentified project is out, all of this is on Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, whatever you need, the platform preferences, it's on there. But yeah, code name Spades on everything, man. You're fun. One word. All
right. Y'all make sure y'all check out code name Spades, because like I said, he do got this Wall Star video that's out, which is Disarm. Y'all make sure y'all look at it for that. Y'all can see what he has been doing and his powerful words. I'm gonna come back to you, Spades, after I'm done with Akeem, because you know I want both of y'all to spit a poem.
I'm gonna come back to you.
So, Akeem.
Hey, let my brother get his shout-out.
Yes, Akeem, how are you doing today?
Man, I'm feeling grateful, man. Like, this day, one way to start my morning is a gratitude, and to always be able to do that, whether it's with people or with my routine. And so to be able to have participated in my routine this morning, and so now to be able to do it with people that are part of my community and in my life, I'm sitting in gratitude. I'm grateful,
man. Amen. That's what's up. That's what I like to hear. I'm glad that you are on the show. I'm glad that people can hear you. And I wanted to know, I'm going to get to your questions. I want to know, do you enjoy doing what you do and why?
Yeah, same as Spades. It's not even a question of enjoy. It's a matter of fact that it's what I love, right? I love doing what I'm fortunate to do on a day to day basis, right? Every day there's an opportunity to help, guide, support, encourage a young BIPOC youth to love themselves or to have self-worth, to identify who they are, to understand the power in their voice and the reason why their voice is important and why using their voice can be a part of change, the solution, right? Every day there's an opportunity to help young people see themselves as the change they want to see and want to be in this world.
Amen.
And to be anointed with this platform. I love it. And it's not so much because of it's that's just one part of it, right? Everything I just shared. But the other piece to it is the idea of being able to give back the way that people give back to me. You know what I'm saying? And so I love what I do because of the opportunities that it affords me every day to try to support, help, guide, and encourage young people. But I also love what I do because of the fact that people have done this for me, and it was my mission to be able to return the favor.
Amen. That's what I like to hear. I know that you are a teacher, right? And what age group do you teach?
For sure. For those who be listening, right, it's not a teacher in the formal sense of being in the classroom, right? Life is a classroom, my experience is a classroom, but it's not that formal for me. I'm an educator outside of the classroom. When the years I spent being in the classroom taught taught me two things, that's second priority. The first priority is to meet young people where they want to be. And the truth of the matter is, a lot of our young people don't always see school and being in class as where they want to be. And so taking what I've learned and creating a space outside of the school has been one of the most powerful things that decisions that I've made. And the age group that I've been working with has been ages 13 to 18.
Amen. That's one of the strongest. That's a strong age right there too.
Right, and that's not to say that childhood education, early childhood education, isn't important, because we all know it's important, right? I was going to say the same thing about getting young people when they're young. Mm-hmm. Dave mentioned it earlier, right? That early childhood education and development is extremely important. And it's all right, bro. And it's also important. It's also important between 18 and 24, yeah. Right? Because you're still a young adult, and even though you're an adult, you're still a young adult. But that 13 to 18 sits right for me because of the transition period.
Yes.
Eighth grade going into high school, or seventh grade, eighth grade going into high school, and in high school going into college. And understanding where I was during those transition periods, and have learned where other young people have struggled during those transition periods. Mm-hmm. And saying, if I'm going to focus majority of resources, time, and energy, it's going to be with this age group.
Amen. Wow, that's very powerful right there. Now it's going to lead me to the next question, because I know you got to face some challenges. Like, what is the one biggest challenge that you face while teaching these teenagers?
Oh my God! So
it's a whole list.
Here it is. Let's get it. Because this is where the mind of their own start kicking in.
Yeah.
Right.
Come on.
You feel me? Like, some days this dude would be like, "Yo, square up, bro! Like square up, dog. I know this is what you want to do, so come on." But not like a couple things came to mind. But I also want to say, like, this question is a great question and a challenging question too, because right when I think of it. Trying to think about how to answer this question, I have to remind myself that instant progress should not be how I measure success when it comes to teaching youth. Mm-hmm. And for me to label a situation of teaching to as a challenge, just because I didn't see that young person implement or incorporate what their teachings have been, is it fair for me to say that it was a challenge? But when I think about moments where over the course of a small time period of teaching youth, right, there's definitely moments where I say embracing mental and emotional wellness, right? Because a lot of youth, a lot of BIPOC youth are so connected to the norm of feeling how they feel and what they feel, that it's more frustrating. It's more frustrating than a challenge, because I'm like, damn, yo, like, no one in this person's life has helped this young person, this individual, see their greatness. Nobody in this young person's life as of yet has helped this young person, right, identify the power in their voice. No one in this young person's life has yet to help them identify the royalty that they, like, live their life with, right? And so it's that norm that by the time a lot of young people hit age 13, there's a lifestyle, there's a way of living, there's a way of thinking, a way of believing, a way of dreaming that they have already, like, accepted. This is how it needs to be for them, in order to make it from Monday to Tuesday and Tuesday to Friday. And so I find it, challenging and at times, because getting or encouraging young people to actually embrace their mental and emotional wellness or their health and wellness is a challenge. Because one is it's taboo in our communities, right? It's not amplified in our communities. It's not discussed as something that comes with positive outcomes, positive habits in our communities as much as it needs to be, right? And so when you are growing up in these spaces where you're not familiar with the language, where you're not familiar with what it looks like, if you're not familiar with what it feels like, right, then it becomes a lot harder to embrace the idea and the importance of taking care of oneself in every facet of your life, not just mental, emotional, but your spiritual wellness, you know what I'm saying, and more. And so that's been something that has been a challenge, right?
Yeah.
Embracing a higher frequency of self, right? A lot of young people in BIPOC communities, confidence is very low, right? No self-confidence, as I mentioned earlier. Lack of self-love, right? This belief that they can't do certain things, whether it be they can't perform academically to the highest of standards, or they can't perform, athletically, or they don't believe that they can write well, or they don't believe that they can read well, right? Yeah, and all of this plays a part in how they see themselves, and so this like embracing this higher frequency of self, like, no, you can do this, and the more that you tell yourself you can, the more that you will. But I found that as being a challenge as well. And really, if you look at the like the context of that, right, if you put that in the box, what I just said, right, it, like, all that is in the box. The box itself isn't the actual child itself. It's the environment and the surrounding that young person is growing up in, right? That's more of a challenge. Right, that's more of a like, it's frustrating when I'm working with the young person and doing my best to help them see, right, the royalty and the greatness in themselves. It's the challenge is everything that has taught them not to see it themselves at, right? That's the challenge, like getting them to break the cycle, as part of my speaking business, speaking company does, right? Helping young people break the cycle. And then this came up as you asked the question, and that is, what white America has provided this narrative around our youth and what they believe our youth will grow up to be.
Yes, indeed.
And I agree. That's what gets me back to this saying, take me back to the time when my dreams didn't have to accomplish in a hurry. I'm going to say it like that because going back to what you just said, like, we are born and we are raised, and as we are growing up, we have a certain expectation that America wants us to have. Like, no. Like,
you know what I'm saying? My fault.
No, go ahead.
There's not many communities that are predominantly white, whether it be a suburb or white individuals living in inner cities or urban communities who use the same rhetoric that we do. I don't know how many white individuals, young white people have said, it's either jail or dead for me. I don't know how many I've never heard, right? And I know this doesn't speak for all. I know this doesn't speak for all, right? There's folks who do grow up in the city who are not BIPOC, right? Who are white individuals who do experience real life challenges similar, right? But not all the same. But for me, it's that the rhetoric isn't the same universal.
All right, I agree. I definitely agree, and that's very. We do have about 15 minutes left. So I want to say something about that. Something that's very important, because I do have an episode that it says teach these kids with love. I have a teacher there that I've been teaching for more than 20 years in Brownsville, and it all goes back to supporting these kids. These kids has to get supported as they growing up. Support your kids, parents, mothers, and fathers. Even though it can be annoying sometimes, and don't get me wrong, because I'm a parent, so I know. But at the end of the day, have patience for your kid. If nobody had patience for you as you was growing up, break that generation cycle and have patience for your kids, period. That's one thing I do want to say. And you, Akeem, you did kind of said how to change the generation curse, because I was going to ask you that question. But do you have anything to say about that?
I'll do my best to be really quick about it. Is I actually will uplift what Spades mentioned earlier, because I also believe it, and especially when it comes to the work that I'm doing, we do have to educate our youth young. We do have to be able to get have them know their history, have them understand, like the trials and tribulations that their ancestors and that our folks had to experience, with also incorporating a lot of good and positive pictures and rhetoric that shows, like, yeah, our folks may have experienced this, but look at the perseverance our folks have had to display, and look at all of the greatness that our folks have actually, made and accomplished and have done. I definitely think that educating our young people around advocacy, right, being engaged, being involved, knowing your history, knowing yourself, is extremely important at a younger age. And that's just one. There's many, many, action steps that our society, our generation can do to help. But that's just one. We haven't even talked yet. Systematic racism, that's a whole other conversation.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have a part two. I already know we are, because this whole thing is very interesting. I know people would love and enjoy to listen to this episode that we have going on. And Akeem, I want let everybody let everybody know where they can find you, like your Instagram or anything that you have.
So, my youth organization is called A Leadership Journey, and it's on Instagram, all one word, A Leadership Journey. It's on Facebook, A Leadership Journey. It's on Twitter, A_L Journey. That's on Twitter, A Leadership Journey. www.aleadershipjourney.org is the website. Learn more about what we're doing to help provide youth, young people of color from marginalized identities, Black youth, BIPOC youth, with the opportunities to participate in cultural exploration and cultural immersion, free of charge, while we focus on taking care of ourselves holistically through health and wellness activities. And then my personal is Akeem Speaks, AKEEM, as in Mary, Speaks, the number 2 on IG, Akeem Lloyd on Facebook, and Akeem Lloyd on Twitter.
All right, there we go. And before I let you go, Akeem, do you have a nice little poem you want to spit for us real quick?
I know you said we only got 15 minutes, and this one's kind of long.
Oh, it's long.
So, I'm gonna see if I can do a shorter one. Can I defer to my brother Space while I think of which poem is this?
Space. All right, code name Space on the stage right now. Let's go. Let's get it.
Okay, the piece that I'm going to do today is called Master of Sign Language.
Let's go.
I am a master of sign language, and yet a rookie. I played hooky during life lessons, so when emotions take their toll, I lack the change to drive forward and I U-turn. And we don't teach little boys how to be husbands. And it's often little girls that would like to be wise, so the best man I could be is so anxious, but subtracted genuine, and do you see what the difference is? We were different kids. You tried dolls, played house, you know, trying to figure out what family is. I bottled everything in that playhouse because dolls just couldn't tell me what a family is. Mama taught me if I spoke back. And it ain't like Pop ever spoke back, so is that another silence attempt? And love exists, but a lot of men are adventurers. And when I flew kites, that was practice. For Mama seeing me graduate flight school, Papa catching me closer to the fire so I could put them out, because that's what firefighters do. Cops and robbers are learned for such a vital game. I seen that line to the side of giving boys the blues is the price for the things you take, including your own voice. But my hands work for sign language. It's just signs that the language isn't working. Anybody could be a little mermaid drowning in the silence of the place you once spoke in, but I communicate very well. When the anger is demonstrated in the veins, resembling lightning, and the fist is clenched, the glare is gone, anything is an enemy if it's there too long, but you were never my target, and I love you was punched into every wall when you felt I missed, because in the world of men, we would have boxed. That's why this type of pain doesn't exist, so when my chin falls and my eyes are late for our appointment, understand pride often feels like all a man has. So when we fail the standard of women, most of us fail to have dads, and I offer no excuse to sacrifice to such a holy altar. Just understand that my sister was catching this, and she also is someone's daughter. I liked Ed and Eddie wrestling, oversleeping till Mama made me morph in time to be the best Power Ranger I could be that day. I even tried hard for good grades, because Papa took me to the 99-cent store for each A, and Mama kissed me real big on the cheek, and my teacher taught me about the constellations through stickers. She gave me one, and I looked in the mirror, and it was the first time I saw a star, and it smiled back. And then I learned it was my reflection, and I spent the rest of my life doing a lot of just that, reflecting on how I'm the master of sign language.
Amen.
But I hope to learn one day.
Come on.
So that I can speak back to you, Clint.
Man. That's what I'm talking about. Code name Spades.
I love you, bro.
Y'all ready to get Code name Spades? Now, Mr. Akeem, I hope you ready for us, because we not trying to get this cut off on us.
Okay, alright. Yo, I love you, bro. I love you, sis.
Why,
you keep asking me to get up out these streets and leave this game alone forever. Keep telling you I'm married to this game and I'm gonna love my chick forever. You keep asking me to get up out these streets and leave this game alone forever. I'll keep telling you I'm married to this game and I'm gonna love my chick forever. You keep asking me questions like, why do I ever come to school on time? Like, when am I going to acknowledge the man in the mirror? You keep asking me, you keep telling me there's a greater me, but apparently numbers don't lie. So according to my statistics, I am just another statistic waiting to be a part of someone's logistics that another 14-year-old cannot hack through this fortress of society's mistress. That every side piece, but I love it. I call it the game. I call it love. I call it institutional racism. You call it education as if that's supposed to draw me closer. Numbers don't lie, Mr. Akeem. Why are they building more prisons? If numbers don't lie, Mr. Akeem, why are they building more prisons? Keep telling you, I'm married to this game. That's all I know. That's all I ever knew. See, Sunset Ave is as big as it gets. My world is occupied by old heads, drug dealers, and cocaine. And where I'm from, catching the body creates fame. So while you're out here trying to teach the game to young lanes, my block is getting hot. 2 shots, nothing remains. You keep asking me to get up out these streets. I lost 4 friends within 3 years, all under the age 18. Because you keep asking me. You keep telling me that there's a greater me, but apparently numbers don't lie. So according to my statistics, I ain't just never statistic, age 14. That's 4 years to dream with enough time to get that cash, rules, everything around me, cream, get that money. I'm just trying to live, y'all. You fight the fight, I fight the power. You fight for me, I fight for power. A street revolutionary. See, you have already broken the chains of opportunity. I don't know if you have noticed, but the numbers keep rising and we keep dying. Philadelphia, home of the brotherly violence, with the street through the talk and politicians keep silent. And nowadays, missing role models are apparent. It's apparent that the missing role models are the parents. I keep telling you, I'm married to this game, and I'm gonna love my chick forever. I believe in opportunity, but apparently numbers don't lie. So according to my statistics, I am just another statistic, age 14, who's finding it hard to fight through this fortress of society's mistress. But I love it. Call it the game. You keep asking me. You keep telling me there's a greater me, but Sunset Ave is all I know, and everything is the same.
Woo! That's my favorite number. Yes, my both strong kings. Akeem, yo, that gave me goosebumps. Both of y'all, like, look, I'm gonna keep it nice and simple. Y'all make sure y'all follow Akeem. Follow his movements. See what's going on. Maybe your kids will be interested in his leadership. Y'all make sure y'all follow Codename Spades. Maybe you'll be interested in his motivational speaking. DM him. Anything. Contact them. They will be able to speak to you. You already know who this is. Wisdom the Healer coming to you live and direct. My IG is Wisdom the Healer LLC. Facebook, Wisdom the Healer. Twitter, Wisdom the Healer. Just Google Wisdom the Healer. Y'all gonna find me. Kings, do y'all have any messages y'all want to say before I shut this down?
Nah, I want to say no regrets. I want to say thank you. Thank you for inviting me, for inviting us to be a part of your platform, this platform, this podcast. Thank you to all the listeners. To the work that you are doing, Wisdom the Healer, please don't ever allow anybody, I know you already know this, but don't allow anybody, anyone to knock you off. Don't ever allow anyone to knock you off your box, yo. Shine your light, spread your light. I love you. To my brother, Codename Spades, it's love. It's always been love from the beginning. Let's continue to stay in contact whenever that contact happens. But I appreciate you, King. Continue to spread your light. All
right, Spades, go ahead. You got 40 seconds.
Man, say less. All we need about half of that. Listen, man, I always appreciated y'all since COVID started. Y'all and Lotus, man, and my big sister Sherry have held me down through a lot with conversations, have educated me, and given me great opportunities. So, man, my love for y'all is endless. And as far as to the people, no regret. Don't wait till tomorrow. Do it right now, bro. Why wonder?
If
there's nothing to fear. Get that tea. Get the real tea. Don't get the sweet tea. Get the brew tea. That's all I got.
Amen.
All I got.
Y'all already know who this is. Like I said, one smile spreads everywhere. And y'all make sure y'all follow these kings. And y'all need to follow me, Wisdom the Healer LLC, on Instagram. All right, everyone, have a great day on purpose. And thank y'all for listening.
You too.